What's up, y'all? My name is Ian Edwards, and welcome to the Soccer Comic Rant. If you're listening to this, you're probably listening to it on SoundCloud, iTunes, Libsyn, World Football Daily. Where else could you be listening to it? Now, you can't be listening to it at my website because my website is still down. I need to make that phone call and get that shit back up. What's wrong with me, y'all? What the hell is wrong with me? It's just one phone call and I haven't made it. That's my life. I need to get my shit together at some point. Yes. Our sponsor is onthevolleyapparel.com. Go to the website, use my promo code, get 20% off. The promo code is Comic Rant, and they are at men tees, hoodies, sweatshirts. Same thing for females, hoodies, tees, sweatshirts, tanks with soccer, hip hop emblems. And the shit is fire. I wear it all the time. So go there and check that out on thevolleyapparel.com. And thanks to everyone who listened during the World Cup. It was a great tournament. It was a lot of fun. And I think I took more time off than Pogba. I just came back this week for the Premiership season. He played this week. I'm doing a podcast this week. I should have done one before the Premiership started, but that was the intention. I'm supposed to do one after the community charity shield, but shit got busy. So, but we're here now. Premiership season just started. And if I want to compare it to the beginning of the Premiership season last year, like that first weekend was so lit, was so crazy last year that, you know, there were upsets and you didn't know what was going to happen. Like there were high scoring games. There were thrillers, thriller ties, thriller wins. Like Man U started off high. I remember, I think Liverpool had a tie, a 3-3 tie. Things were a little different this Premiership opening weekend. And Man U kicked it off, and we won. We beat Leicester, who I figured would be tough. You know, I figured Leicester would be tough. Tough because even though they lost Mahrez, you know, they'd be tough because we, as Man U, I mean, we don't have our shit together. Like Pogba, like I just said, just got back. And we had this whole preseason tour where we didn't have a lot of our players. And we had to use a lot of the youth players, which I'm glad they got a chance to experience some football, some first team football and shine. But our coach, Mourinho, was not happy with the results or with the quality of players that he had out there. And he said some things about, these are not my players. And bro, chill, son. Be nice. I mean, there is some differences in my Monday morning quarterback watching the game philosophies about coaching and Mourinho's for sure. Like, I would hopefully be more encouraging if I was a coach to my players, because first of all, they're young and they're going to be somebody, you know, one day if you encourage them and you fill them with belief instead of like, yeah, we know Pogba wasn't there and all the other players, Valencia wasn't there. We know Matic wasn't there. We know, you know, whoever was involved and went deep, because the Premiership teams and players went deep into the World Cup. So chill, Mourinho, like encourage the boys. And I've been thinking about some things lately. Like we played this game this weekend and Luke Shaw did a great job and he also scored. And when he scored, Mourinho was happy, and he was excited. He hugged the people on the sidelines, his assistant coaches. But I'm like, was he happy because Shaw scored, or was he happy because we went up 2-0 and we were going to win the game? Was it result happy? Was it Shaw happy, or was it both? You know, was it result and Shaw happy? Because afterwards, he's like, Shaw played a good game. And Mourinho is so cantankerous, has grown into such a cantankerous human being. He even has a tough time being happy. You know, I think he forgot how to be happy. When he first, I was listening to something what Shearer was saying, and it made me think that we've been watching Jose Mourinho for probably over 10 years now. And over 10 years, a person's personality changes. And I think he's more jaded now than when he first came into the Premier League from Porto and before, and more jaded than when he went to Italy and coached Inter to titles. And then Spain is when he kind of changed a little bit, when he first encountered Pep and the difficulties of having like a coach that could be seen as a better coach than him. And then now he has to deal with the same scenario in not only in the same country, but in the same goddamn city. His team has the same first name as Pep's team. And it's City versus United. And City is getting under Mourinho's skin on ununiting United. Like, I feel like Mourinho has to follow, or should try to look at the positives of what our team has and use those things to unite our team. I don't think he unites our team enough. I don't think he unites our players enough. I think he's looking bleakly at what bad things could go wrong, and which is preventing him from being optimistic. I think last year, and including this year, that United have enough to stay within close range of Man City. Are we better? Nah. But we're better than he thinks we are. So I think he has the threat level on orange, which is the highest terror threat, I think. But let's go with that. It's the highest terror level threat. He has a threat level on orange when it's really green, when it's really beige. It's beige. And if you don't calm down and look at things practically, you could never fix them as good as you could fix them. So Mourinho needs to calm down. I'm just going to... Darmian, he played. He was all right. He made me believe what Mourinho believes about him is true, that he's not that good and that he's not confident in him in this game. So Darmian, there's room for improvement for you. Definitely in the next game. Now, Mourinho always kind of shits on Shaw and punishes him and keeps him on the bench. But to be honest, the times I've seen Shaw play, like, I'm wondering if Mourinho does a thing where when he wants the board to buy a player in a position, he kind of takes away the confidence of the player who's already in that position, talk shit to him, discourages them to the point where they play bad, and it makes and forces the board to have to buy a player in that position. Is Shaw as bad as Mourinho think, or are we more optimistic than Mourinho is? Because Shaw looked good, and I've seen him look good before, and he was good under Van Gaal, and he just got injured in that game, got his leg broken and taken out for almost a season. So play Luke Shaw. I just think Mourinho should just be a more encouraging coach overall to all his players. And if he isn't, like, I don't want to risk losing Pogba because we have a cantankerous coach who has changed over the years and is not looking at things optimistically. And I don't know why we need more defenders. Like, why are you buying defenders? I'm glad Woodward did not give Mourinho the money to buy defenders. Like, first of all, I like Harry Maguire. I like him based on what he did in the World Cup. You know, before I didn't think he was a Man U worthy player, but after the World Cup, now I do. But you know what I don't think? I don't think he's worth $80 million. $80 million for a defender? You know what a defender is going to have to do to live up to an $80 million price tag? You know, it's like, it's easier for a player in an attacking position to live up to 80 million pounds being paid for them, you know, because then you could score some goals. But if you're a defender, as soon as you get beat, like, we paid $80 million for that. It's just a price tag with pressure that it would be tough for Maguire to live up to. And the pressure of it will never make him be as good as he could probably be. So I'm glad Leicester didn't sell him. And I'm glad we didn't shell out that money for him. Not because I don't think he's worth £80 million, but it's too much for a defender. It's too much for a defender. So we have what we have. And I think we have enough. And if Mourinho doesn't think we have enough, I like him, you know. But I never really wanted him to be our coach. And speaking of positive, when he became our coach, the only positive was he was going to rebuild us a midfield. And now we have more midfield than you can ever ask for. So it's like, to me, your job is done. We won a Europa League and a FA Cup, Community Shield. And most importantly, we have a midfield. Before you came there, we didn't have Fred. We got a Fred. You brought Pereira up from the youth system. So thank you for trying him. Boom, we have a Pereira. We have a Pogba. We have a Sanchez. We have a Matic. We have a Mata. We have a Fellaini. We had Fellaini before you. You brought McTominay up. So we have midfield. We have Herrera. We had Herrera before you. But, like, we have people. You have to organize all of this and make it start working. And you're trying to buy defenders for £80 million? Get another forward. That's what I'd pay it for, just in case Lukaku gets injured. Or how about you start helping Rashford positively? You start helping Martial positively so that they can contribute. As far as this game against Leicester, I knew it'd be difficult. Knew it would be difficult, but I didn't know it was going to be Leicester 54% possession difficult. At one point in the game, they had 68% possession. I think it was right after we scored. Like, they hounded the shit out of us. It was like Leicester treated the goal like they gave us the goal, like a guy buys a girl in the club, a drink in the club, and he just follows her around the club the whole time under pressure. That's what that goal felt like for a lot of the first half. And then we started to alleviate some of that pressure in the second half. And like I said, Shaw scored. He scored late. But thank God he scored. Mata got him the ball. Because I'm leery about Mata, man. I don't even know. You know, I just want him to have a good year. Give us more. And then see in this thing. Mourinho praises two Man United players after the 2-1 Leicester win. And that's another thing. Like, my main thing is, if there is a chance of losing Pogba because of Mourinho's got to go. He's got to go. And I got to give him credit for playing Lingard all last season and giving him a chance when it seemed like Lingard was a lost cause, to the point now where Lingard played on a successful semi-finalist England team. Like, there's good things Mourinho's done, but I just think this is still the Mourinho from... This is more the Mourinho of the guy that got fired from Chelsea than the Mourinho that got hired to win the title the first time in his second year by Chelsea. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's who we got. Leicester, they did what Leicester did. The good things that Leicester did is that they kept Harry Maguire. The bad things they did, they sold Mahrez. They got £80 million for him. Fine. Well, £80 million is going to cost you a lot of points this season. So Leicester, good luck with that. And then you're going to have to buy like players that aren't as good, and probably more than one. You're going to blow that £80 million, just like every other team does. So good luck. There were some good performances out there from some Leicester players. Let me see who I liked. Let me go to lineups. This wasn't a great... Amarte, you didn't have to hand that ball. So I don't know what the fuck you are thinking. And Iheanacho had a few chances, but they went the Iheanacho way. And Schmeichel saved a goal from Lukaku. It's pretty good. I want to give props to De Gea, because he definitely saved the game on a fast break by Leicester. And great reaction save. In the right position, went down on time, saved it. So, you know, he just showed his value and his worth. And that one play, and he saved one in the second half too. So, but yeah, that's the Man U Leicester game. We won, but we'll see. Chelsea versus Huddersfield. Chelsea went on out there and handled their business. And it was weird because the teams that lost to the big teams played pretty decent. Like, Leicester played pretty decent against us in Huddersfield. You know, they put Chelsea under pressure too. You know? It wasn't like they just came out there and got their ass whipped. They had their moments, especially in the first half. And they could have scored too. It's just that I was talking to a friend and he's like, we shouldn't be up three. Or at that point, it was two. And I was like, yeah, you shouldn't, but you have the quality to be up two. And that's the difference in games sometimes. That's all it comes down to. N'Golo Kante scored. And the new Chelsea manager is pushing him forward more, it seems. He feels like let's see this year if he's going to turn Kante into Pogba by pushing him up. Because Conte can dribble, he can hold the ball, he can pass really well. Like, when he played for Leicester in that championship season, when he came forward with the ball, it wasn't like one of those, he didn't feel like he was out of place when he was in the final third of the pitch. He'd normally make a really good pass. So, and set up put the player in the position to score. So, let's see. And now they have Jorginho. Let's see how they were set up. They had Jorginho in the middle, Conte on the right. Ross Barkley was out there. Nice, I think he had an assist. Nice flip. Pass. But let's see what Ross Barkley brings to Chelsea this season. Willian was out there, got an assist. Lineups and stats. Timeline. Just go back to lineups, my bad. So, Pedro scored. Jorginho scored the penalty. Conte. Chelsea 3. Huddersfield. I think they... It's your second year in the season, so let's see how you hold up. You know, are you going through a hangover from surviving last season in the Premiership? Let's see. But get better from the weekend pounding. Watford versus Brighton Hove. Brighton Hove, another team promoted last year, survived in the Premiership against Watford. And Watford, a Jekyll and Hyde side with Troy Deeney. You don't know what's going to happen on a week-to-week with Watford. It's like Watford is like bad for gamblers. You know, if you're a gambler and you have to like pick a few teams and hope for, I think it's called a parlay, and Watford is in there, good to fucking luck, because you don't know what they're going to fucking do. Pereira for Watford. Now, two amazing goals. Jesus. First goal of the season, up for goal of the year for the entire season. It's not like one of those great goals of the week where you're going to be like, forget about that goal towards the middle or the end of the season. That goal is a candidate till the end of the season for goal of the season. A scorcher, bro. A fucking scorcher. And just look at some of these highlights from this game. But I don't even want to look at the highlights. Fuck it. I'm just going to keep going. Watford 2, Brighton Hove 0. Welcome to season 2, Brighton Hove. Watford, what are you going to give us next week? Who the hell knows? You don't even know. Wolves, Everton. Welcome, Wolves, to the Premiership. And Wolves spent a lot of money in this offseason. I think they spent maybe £100 million. $100 million. I think they own a midfield comprised of a bunch of Portuguese players. So it's like, they're not, and the coach, like Premiership coaches who have won the league do not sound as positive about being in the Premiership as the Wolves coach. Like, he's like, yeah, we out here. We about to do this. And they went out against Everton, you know, and Everton finished 8th in the Premiership last year, and they strengthened their team, and they went out against the team that finished 8th, Wolves did, and got a 2-2 tie in a thriller. So it's a long Premiership season, but it's pretty impressive. Wolves, living up to your name. And, you know, got 2 past Pickford. And props to Rick Carlson for scoring. One of those goals was a goddamn beauty. It was like, you were Tiger Woods with your right foot. Put that shit right in the hole, in between the defender and the goalkeeper, corner pocket. So... good shit. And I think he got 2 that game. Let me see what they paid. So Everton bought him. And I might have to figure out how much they paid for him, because I'm looking on this website that wants me to accept some cookies before they let me see what Rick Collison is worth. And I don't think it's worth me accepting their cookies for me to find out what Rick Collison's worth. So I'm going to just back out of this page. I'm not accepting any cookies this season. You know what I mean? It's not happening. This page won't even let me back out of it. It's like forcing these cookies on me. No, bro. I don't want no internet cookies. Don't want them, bro. I'm gonna have to shut these cookies down. All right. I have to stop the recorder and shut down this page. You know, I'm back from my cookie shutting down mission, and I'm back on my page that I need to be on. So, Wolves, Everton, good game. Jagielka, should he have gotten a red card? I'd say he went for the ball. It was intentional. Yes, studs were showing, but also the player ran towards the play too. Like sometimes, this is what I mean. Like sometimes a guy goes through a player with studs up. That's a red card. But sometimes the player comes towards the player's foot with his studs up. And sometimes that is a red card too. In this case, this probably shouldn't have been a yellow. But this game, it was a red card. So Jagielka got kicked out the game. And then give Wolves props. The money that they spent all season immediately comes into the play, because then one of them goddamn Portuguese, which is not a real word, but I'm just saying, Portugal players that they bought, Neves, puts that ball in the back of the net. Great free kick. Let me make sure it was Neves, because I'm about to look at this free kick right now. Fast forward this a little bit. And yeah, looking at the tackle. Yeah, it's not a great tackle. And here's a free kick, number 8. Bam. Corner pocket. Neves. Yep. Goal. Perfect, man. Perfect. I'm just watching it over and over again. You can operate anytime if you were a doctor, because that, the way, you just watch the way his foot, like it's like watching somebody butter bread perfectly the way he took that. Dope. It's like watching somebody butter bread with a scalpel. Perfect, Dr. Neves. Perfect. Perfect incision on that free kick. Nice cut. So Wolves, they're in the Premiership. They got 2 goals. Scored one last minute. Raul Jimenez, boom. 80th minute. Tied up with Everton. And it'd be interesting to see what Wolves does this season, man. Be very interesting. They've doubled down. We're in the Premiership. We're here to stay. We're doubling down. We spent some money and we're riding. We ain't going to wait till the transfer window opens back and be in a panic and buy people and see, you know, and be in trouble and fight from the bottom of the table to get into the, to get over, you know, to be 17th so that we don't get relegated. We're going in. So we've been to, you know, and the Wolves have been to the Premiership before. They were there like 6 years ago. So, they've learned and said, this is what we're going to do. And this is how we're going to do it. So I can't wait to watch them. Liverpool, West Ham, scores 4-0. Like when you, I saw this game and there is no point in this game that I felt that West Ham thought that they could win this game. There was no point. From the time the schedule was announced, from the time they watched Liverpool acquire players in the offseason, from the time they watched Liverpool play their preseason games, from the time the week before to the time they walked onto the field, conceded the four goals, and walked off. There's no time and point that I thought West Ham thought that they could win this game or compete with these guys. Effort wise, like if you're like, hey, they got more talent than us, what, then show me some effort. 35% possession. And 35% possession, you could be like, well, Liverpool's gonna hold the ball most of the time, so they're just like defending relentlessly. But like the Mane's first goal was all Milner hustling. Like he's hustling like he's on the losing team or on the team that should be hustling. You know? Like Milner's assist, like diving down to the touchline, crossing that ball in, Mane's there, boom. You know? We knew Salah was going to score, so I can't even really blame West Ham for that happening. And then the third goal, Mane's second goal of the game, third for Liverpool, that was offside. So then if even West Ham just for 1 second was like, I think we could turn this around. If that goal, which was offside and was not fair, just turned that switch off in their heads and it just went dark from there on. Like if you thought it was dark, their hopes were dark before, there was definitely after that, the referee did not make a call that could save them. It was over. And then Liverpool starts making subs. Sturridge come on. Daniel Sturridge, who had a pretty decent offseason for Liverpool, and he's still there, and you thought he'd be gone. But I think something has changed, and Klopp is welcoming them more. Something's going on. So hopefully it continues, and Sturridge might stay with Liverpool and get along and fit in with this team, and he'll be injury free. And maybe it's just my optimism, but looks good so far. Looks good so far. The only thing West Ham did good was 82% pass accuracy, but did they even have 82 passes? It's like, if you only pass the ball 20 times, then yeah, you should have 82% accuracy in an entire Premiership game. They had 2 shots on goal. Liverpool had 18 shots, 8 on goal. And 4 of those suckers went in. So, yeah, West Ham. I don't know. We're going to see who you play next week, but play them better. Tottenham, Newcastle. This is one of those games, again, where Tottenham won, but Newcastle gave them a good enough run where this could have been a tie or Tottenham could have lost. So it kind of mirrors how I see the Man U win. That's, you know, same score, 2-1, Tottenham 2, Newcastle 1, and Tottenham had good goals, but Newcastle wanted it too and gave him a fight. And I got to give it to Benitez, man. He stayed in the Premiership. I'm going to see where he finished last year. So Newcastle last year finished 10th for a team that a lot of people thought was going to be relegated. There's problems with the owner. There's still more problems with the owner. He didn't buy enough players last season to guarantee, like what Wolves did, to guarantee that Newcastle will stay in the Premiership. So everybody's like, this team's going down. They finished 10th. And now they have the same issues where they sold a player or two. And first game, they sold a player too. So let's see what happens, man. But regardless, as much as I don't like Benitez, he is doing a great job with Newcastle. How about that? Give him that. And let's see the goals. Vertonghen scored. All right. Am I wrong about this? Let me see. See who scored for Tottenham. I know Dele Alli scored the second one. Great cross. Let me see. So let me make sure. Lineups. That's where it is. So goals. Goals. Goals are from Vertonghen and Dele Alli. And they started Lucas Moura, which is great for Spurs. I think he's going to add a lot to the team. So you get him integrated and used to playing with these guys. He's going to pay off in royalties. It's good to see Lucas Moura out there. He's a rated player in my book. And Josulu's goal, amazing. Great header. Nice cross, Matt Ritchie. And that's on the Newcastle side. So, you know, Newcastle played some attacking, good-looking football. And Shelby, keep balling, man. Maybe you could force your way into the Euros for England. So, Jonjo Shelby, keep playing. And somebody else stood out in this team for me. Who was it? Kennedy. Tattooed Kennedy. Didn't finish some of the stuff that he started out there, but he was a threat. The way, you know, you'd want, like, what's the dude's name from Man City? Sterling, like, was a threat in some of those games in the World Cup, but didn't finish. Kennedy was like that, but better. So, in this game. So, let's see what Kennedy does for Newcastle this season. We'll keep an eye on him. Was it just the early, you know, first game shining, or will he keep this up? We'll see. Bournemouth, Cardiff. I'm going to go straight to lineups. I'm going to go to lineups because I have a cousin that plays for Cardiff. And I didn't see the game, so I want to see. So, Bournemouth is top of the charts on this, and then so he didn't start, and he wasn't on the bench. Kadeem Harris wasn't there, but his team is in the Premiership. Cardiff City, they played Bournemouth. And Bournemouth got their goals. Frazier is amazing. Frazier for Cardiff is amazing. At first goal, you know, he was in the right place for the cross from, I think it was it King Wilson? Yes, Wilson. Wilson got a goal and assist. And Frazier's just a threat the entire time he played. I just always like that little guy, man. Like, he's a little engine that could. And he's a perfect player for Bournemouth, man. Perfect player. Like, probably, he's the size and player that probably nobody ever wants. But Bournemouth is like, this guy's perfect for us. So, good shit. Bournemouth starts off their season 2-0. And Bournemouth's going to have their ups and downs. Because if they stick to the same formula that they got, of like just attacking, then there's going to be some holes. But Cardiff, up from the Championship, could not find any or take advantage of any, and we'll see how they do this season. I hope they do good. I'd love my cousin to stay in the Premiership. Fulham, Crystal Palace. Fulham spent some money too, and they're up from the Championship. And there's a young player on Fulham we need to look out for. He's like 18 years old. So let me make, I think I have his name here. Ryan Sasegnon. Sasegnon. Am I on the 18 years old? I think he scored, I don't know if he was Fulham's leading. There's a few things. Let's see. Left winger, also capable of left back, was highly rated enough after 7 goals in 30 games during the 2016-17 season, but then hit 16 goals in 52 appearances last season as Fulham won promotion to the Premier League. So look out for Ryan Sasegnon. And I'm probably saying that terribly. So for Fulham, is he English or has a chance to play for England? Let me see where is what his full heritage is. English prefer who plays left back. Fulham. All right. I think he's English, but I think he's something else. So another country could claim him, but hopefully he stays with us being in England. But back to the Fulham Crystal Palace game. Yeah. Crystal Palace handled their business and they started the season with a win. Last season, they lost their first 5. Coach got fired. They lost definitely their first 4. And I think they lost 5 games, but after 4, I think they fired their coach, their first coach. So just a win is 3 points at the beginning. It took them more than 5 games to get 3 points last season, probably even more. So to get 3 points in 1 game and 2 goals, took them. They couldn't even score last season, the first 4 or 5 games. So this is pretty amazing for them. Yeah. So, and Wilfred Zaha played and he scored. And who else scored for Crystal Palace? Zaha and Schlupp. And Schlupp's goal was pretty fucking amazing too. And Zaha's goal was pretty amazing too. I think they both goals on the same level, high level goals. And I think Benteke got an assist in there. Townsend got an assist in there. And the assist on the Zaha goal. I want to make sure this assist was by, was it by Van Aanholt? Because that was a fucking amazing. I want to get the right person credit. I think it was Van Aanholt assisted Zaha on his goal. That was a fucking amazing assist. But I'm not sure. I could check it. There's also one thing I got to check. Zaha eyes a record. So Wilfred Zaha could be, he has a chance to become Crystal Palace all-time leading Premier League goal scorer. So we'll see if he does that this week or in the upcoming weeks. But let me check something about this game. It's one thing I want to check. So I'm looking at Crystal Palace. Sorry, y'all. I just have to find this thing. So I'm just clicking around on the computer. So Crystal Palace versus Fulham, right? Crystal Palace versus Fulham. So for the Wilfred, so it was Aaron Wan-Bissaka. Aaron Wan-Bissaka was the assister on the Zaha goal. and it was a fucking amazing assist. Beat two guys, went down, could have lay stayed down and tried to get a foul call, got up, went around another guy, and passed it to Zaha. It's all on a fast break, and Zaha pretty much one touch put it in the back of the net. So he's that goal's more him than Zaha. But Zaha did finish it. And so I got to give him props for that. So that was, it's one of the best goals I saw this entire weekend, just on how it was made. So Crystal Palace beats Fulham 2-0. Keep going. See what else I got here. Southampton Burnley. Burnley did Burnley's thing, letting nobody score on them. In Southampton, that's my homeboy Lee team. He's happy that they have a point to start the season off. So, you know, that's positive, right? You got a point, Southampton. You didn't let Burnley score, because if they had, you probably wouldn't have gotten a goal and you wouldn't have a point, because Burnley would have all three of them. So good for Southampton. They got a point. I like the Southampton shirts. I normally don't like stripes. I don't play with stripes. You know what I'm saying? It's just too busy for me. But stripes, 2 years in a row, Southampton's got some nice ass jerseys. So I'll give them that. So you got nice stripes and a point to go with that. And Arsenal, Man City, it was the biggest game of the weekend. And Arsenal's been through some changes. And they got a new coach. Wenger's gone. After all those years, Wenger is gone. And Emery is their coach. And here's the irony of this situation. Now, Emery is mostly known for being Sevilla's coach in La Liga. And I think they won 3 Europa Leagues in a row. He won 3 Europa Leagues in a row. And now he's joined Arsenal at a time where they didn't qualify for Champions League, but they're in the Europa League. So, shit, you might be able to win another Europa League for Arsenal. So Arsenal might get a trophy this year. I doubt it's going to be the Premiership title. Could it be a Caribou Cup? Could it be an FA Cup? Maybe. But based on Emery's record, you got a great chance of winning Europa League this year, because you're in it, number one. And he's your coach. And he's done it 3 times. So, and I think Chelsea was always going to win this game. I mean, not Chelsea. Man City was always going to win this game. It was the things to look for was Arsenal going to play better against Man City than they did against Man City when Wenger was their coach? And I'd say, yeah, they only let in 2. They showed more spirit and fight than they normally do. They still played, you know, like Emery has a lot of stuff to play with. He has good players. He just has to motivate them defensively. Like, it's just a lot of possibilities here. I just don't think Ozil hustles. I like Mkhitaryan, but there's sometimes in the middle of play that he lacks heart. And like, some of the Arsenal players feel like it's cool to just give up sometimes, and you have to stamp that mentality out of them. Nathan Miles played. He's young as shit. And he's out there. So let's see what he develops into. Xhaka. Xhaka got replaced by... Who did Xhaka get replaced by? This young... short-ass young dude who might be his permanent replacement. So we'll see. Let me see who replaced, who came in for Xhaka. Torreira came in for Xhaka, 70th minute. So let's see who Lucas Torreira is going to turn out to be. And if he's going to turn out to be Xhaka's plane ticket out of, you know, or his parachute out of Arsenal. We'll see. We'll see. But Man City dominated. Sterling scored. He started the game hungry and was going at it. Sometimes I felt like he wasn't looking for his players, you know, and he could have made some passes, but that's also how he scored his first goal in the 14th minute. He wasn't looking for his players. He wasn't passing. He was going for self, and he made that happen. Bernardo Silva made it 2 in the 64th minute, and which is a good thing because he scored like immediately after a Sergio Aguero selfish miss. Sergio Aguero went for it against Czech when he had a clear pass to De Bruyne on his left. And he's like, fuck you, De Bruyne. I'm doing this solo. And Czech was like, you should have passed to De Bruyne because I wouldn't have been able to save this then. Thanks for making me look good. So immediately after that, on another fast break, Mendy made a great cross. Yeah, it's good heads up. Like most people have just passed it down the line. He cut it back. Found Bernardo Silva, who one-timed it. Golf style. Unreachable by Czech. Boom, back of the net. Man City win, 2-0. But the good news is Arsenal put up more of a fight than they normally do. And let's see if they grow in fight strength, if they grow in wanting it more throughout the season, and how much trouble they will give teams with this new coach. And, you know, Pep's back to business as usual. So it's a long season. These are just the first games of the seasons of the season. Next week, there's Cardiff versus Newcastle. So Cardiff gets another decent shot of being able to win a game. And we'll see. Tottenham versus Fulham. God damn, Fulham. You got your hands full. And Leicester versus Wolves. Leicester, watch out. The name Wolves is not a game. They could get some points off you. West Ham goes up against Bournemouth. Let's see if West Ham comes into this game with more belief in themselves than they did against Liverpool, because they didn't bring any. So all that self-belief that you saved up at home in a piggy bank, break it open and bring it when you go play Bournemouth. Everton versus Southampton. Toss up, but Everton, you should be able to win this game. Do something with your lives. Chelsea versus Arsenal. 2 weeks in a row, Arsenal has big games. I just played Man City. Now they got to play Chelsea. It's like, God damn. It's like, Emery's like, do you hate me, Premiership? I just got this job. Can I get my foot firmly in the sand first before you throw Man City at me? And now Chelsea? Jesus Christ. Like, Emery, who do you hate? I don't think Wenger had tough season openers like this. Well, that's the Premiership for this week. We'll see what happens in these new games coming up this week. It's been exciting, and it'll hopefully continue to be and be even more exciting. My name is Ian Edwards. Thanks for listening. Tell some friends. If you're ever on Spotify or any one of those listening apps and you want to hear my album or purchase it, it's called 100% Half-Assed. One.